Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Andy. And before we get started with today's episode, I wanted to let you know about RebateJet.com. What is RebateJet? Well, it's a piece of software that I created that will help Amazon sellers get their products noticed. You can launch with promo codes, rebates. Not only that, but you can list your product for free on the RebateJet third-party marketplace. You don't pay a single penny unless you make a sale. And when you do, it's only a $1 flat fee per product. Try it today, RebateJet.com.
Welcome to the Seller Roundtable e-commerce coaching and business strategies with Andy Arnott and Amy Wees.
Yeah, I love that because I call it a trick, but it's fairly commonly used for marketers, but a lot of people probably don't use it. Exactly what you said, you know, pay for cheap clicks from Google because the intent is there. Pixel them when they come to your website, and then you can retarget them, right? So then you can retarget them not only on Google, but Facebook, and then really, dial it in. What people don't realize is, you know, just like Amazon with the Amazon's PPC algorithms, you know, both Facebook and Google have their own where it really takes some time to go through that data for their AI to figure out what's working, what's not working. And then generally, it doesn't always happen. I've run tons of campaigns where this isn't the case. Generally, though, the longer you let it run, the better it performs, right? Because every new data point that Google or Facebook gets, they go, oh, okay, so the dog lovers don't look like they're actually converting very, very well anymore. But oh, these cat lovers, oh, these are the ones that are converting. You know, so we're going to divert some of the budget away from that to the cat lovers and, you know, just for example. But a lot of people don't realize now that with, you know, before, even just like, what is it, a year or two ago, before Facebook and Google had these kind of setups in place, you had to do so much. It's almost like where PPC on Amazon is right now, right? There's so much babysitting you used to have to do it to go in and be like, oh, well, I'm going to disable, you know, men from 25 to 35 because they're not converting. So I don't want to show them at, you know, this is all stuff that you used to have to do manually. Whereas now on both Facebook and Google, if you're doing a conversion or a lead, some kind of conversion tracking, that they automatically take all this data, time of day, male or female, age, likes, dislikes, even political preference, like all these different data points that they can squeeze out of you, and then target, you know, target ads to people who actually want to see and who will convert. So that's a great tip. So right now, you know, once again, we always like to ask, you know, today, if you were to spin up, I don't know if you're still selling on Amazon, if you were to spin up, a campaign for, say, a client, what would you do to get more traction for your brand new Amazon product? Like what kind of funnel would you set up personally?
All right. Give me more details because there's like seven types of Amazon seller goals using Facebook ads. So a new funnel.
Yeah, give us the most basic though that, you know, because a lot of our audience are people just starting out or, you know, kind of, not super advanced.
Yeah. Well, let me say that in two ways, just because like how mine is going, where one, even some beginners are like not using their best skills and they're kind of like trying to force learn it. And maybe they're better on, I don't know, like product development and like innovation and kind of like doing things that are more like starting things and not, they shouldn't be really running Facebook ads. They may just want to find all kinds of like marketing partners where then you run Facebook ads and your audience is already like thousands of people. So you have to find like, maybe your like brand just find similar categories or people in ways where, and like, you don't have to be like an investor. You just have to be a partner that connects marketing and like your product with marketing channels. And then you run Facebook ads where anything you do is just going to be more effective because you have a bigger audience, more data. That's kind of more from like a partnership side. And I think some people get excited about that because they're like, oh, I'd rather do that for my brand, spend time doing that. And then whoever's running ads on my team, or then if I run ads, they're going to be more effective. So that's kind of like a caveat, more like I didn't think of that before. Like when I was running, like, you know, for a couple of years, Facebook ads, I would just like get in Facebook ads and start running Facebook ads. But now I would know, well, actually, let me find a marketing, like another page or a brand that's not a competitor, but in the same niche where we can leverage data or ad spend. So that's that first answer for those people that want to get distracted with that. But if you're like running Facebook ad and it's a a beginner ad, and most likely, let's say you don't have a website or another channel where like even like ManyChat, there's like, you know, a bunch of tools. It's like very simple to like set up, but let's say you're not doing any of that. It's like you have an Amazon listing and you created Facebook ad account. So within here, two parts. One, set your expectations that it's okay to fail and learn, because you're not gonna like get like a return of three on your first ad. So like just set that expectation that you're gonna like learn, and then you're gonna iterate the second time. But to increase your chance of success, let's say some people right away, sellers run ads and it works right away. This would be test the most variety on the creative side, because if you change anything on Facebook, like there's targeting, who you're targeting, like what your offer is. There's so many things you could test. A lot of those things are kind of like optimizations. There's like 10% increase, like maybe 2x increase. But the creatives is the one that is going to be like the 2x, 10x, like the big differences in the creative, just visually. Because again, we're talking about the Facebook algorithm. You need to drive your cost down from $4 per click to 75 cents per click. And once you're like on that acceptable range, then you optimize where maybe it's not necessarily better going from 75 cents per click to 60 cents per click, because it turns into like clickbaity ads, and then it's like lower quality audience. But we're talking about the difference between a $4 click and the $1 click. That's creatives will do that for you. So that's the first step. Just have, force yourself to have as many variations as possible of your creative. Even if it's two, make sure they're two opposite things. It's not like if you have pet products where it's like the same cat standing to like the same like litter, and then has like some the supplies there, and it's like just a different angle, and it's like almost the same thing. Your click-through rate is going to be like 1.5 or 1.3, and you're gonna think, all right, the 1.5 is better, I'm gonna go with that. Like, no, have that and totally different type of cat, totally different type of contrast between like what's in the background. So even if it's as simple as two images and you're creative, make them as opposite or as extreme differences as possible. So that would be like the beginner tip, which is actually advanced, because most beginners don't even do that. They're just starting off kind of like simpler, like, all right, I'm gonna actually go with three ads, but they're like very similar. And they're kind of looking like they're Amazon photos, which also like usually doesn't work in Facebook ads. Like they would as a retargeting ad, but not as the first ad. It should be like almost cliche, but it's just like more about like the lifestyle or the problem or the solution, or just getting the right audience to engage with your ad to affect the Facebook algorithm.
Yeah, I think that's a huge point. And I feel like, you know, it's just like anything, right? If you're lazy on this stuff, then it's you're not going to do very well. New types of ads are brilliant. And, you know, spend the time to spin up a few more. You know, if you're using Canva, it's super easy to just change the ad up really quickly. The other cool thing is, you know, something that I learned a long time ago that's super simple, but also can work fairly well, is just changing the background color, right? Like, I remember one time I was doing an ad and I did like hot pink, and I was like, there, you know, I did like hot pink, blue, green, you know, all these different backgrounds, and the hot pink one won. You know, it was, you know, for conversions and things, but people don't even think about like just changing the background. Literally takes you could go into Canva, change the background 10 times, export that. And, you know, 10's a little, probably a little too much these days, because you're going to spread your budget thin depending on how much you have, but maybe 3 to 5. And with that, you'll get, you know, a winner after a while on, okay, this one's definitely performing better. This one's getting me more conversions. Sometimes you'll get ones that you'll get more clicks, but less conversions. And you're like, wait, it's just a color. But, you know, we're animals, and we react to, you know, colors, shapes, smells, you know, all these basic human senses. So, you know, if just changing the color, you know, if you want to be semi-lazy, you know, if you're going to spin up multiple ads and you're too lazy to like yeah, I was saying, just, you know, change the scene, then at least try to change the background. You'd be surprised. That can even make a huge difference.
Yeah, exactly. And so I actually group that kind of like a middle level optimization, meaning there's like micro and macro tests. That's like in the middle where it's a major one, but it's visual. You know, it's not like changing one word or like a little icon somewhere, like the whole color, it could have a massive effect. So it's kind of in the middle. Where another example would be more on like the macro level change is where it is like a totally different scene, but it doesn't have to take more effort. We're like, all right, I need another photo shoot to come up with that with a different image. Just try this. It's whatever image you have, just zoom in like 90%, meaning, or zoom out like 90%, not just like half. So let's say whoever like can see like the Zoom videos, let's say for like all of us where, you know, like we're in the center, like whatever the sizes are. And then I'm not talking about where it's just a little bit more, like a little bit more, like the image is more or out. I'm talking about where it's like totally different, where whatever is the point of the image, you know, like the cat or the product, where it's like way zoomed in, where it's like, wait, what is that? I can tell it's like a cat, but it's like totally different. So that's a macro optimization, but it's more than just like changing the color. It's a little bit where it changes the style of the photo. So those
like
are,
you guys are talking about me with all this cat talk. I don't know.
Well, we luckily, Amy, you have kids, so we can't, you know, you can't be a crazy cat lady. You're married and you have children. So, you know, only from my understanding, to be a quote unquote official crazy cat lady, you have to be, you just have to have yourself and cats in the house. So,
okay.
let's not just put ladies in there. You know, there's crazy cat men as well. Let's be real.
I like it. I like the examples though, you know. As long as the cat is cute, the internet will love it.
Right? Exactly.
You should use cats in all of your ads.
Man, I used to be very anti-cat until we got our last two. So anyway, we're getting off the rails here. So yeah.
Sorry, I was distracted.
No, it's all good.
It's like, so, what, cats?
Well, let me give you one more thing, and this is totally related on the topic, and I like to stay kind of like tactical and also strategy. So it's almost like a hack where, even if, let's say you're selling like kitchen supplies or something else, like you could have a cat somewhere in the picture and overlap interest targeting like cat related things. So it's kind of, you can like combine things, it cuts your audience size, but also this is a good for beginners to kind of have like a low hanging fruit. And it's a little bit strategic where it's hard to scale this, but it kind of gives you a win to improve your click-through rate, or at least your targeting is more important, or like just a little bit better targeted.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you look at it from my mind, which is very SEO driven, right? You can look at that as kind of like visual SEO, right? Like if you're putting in exactly like Yev said, like, you know, people who are cooking with a pet, you know, you're selling a pet product or a cooking product or vice versa, but you're targeting those two, you know, those two groups, you know, all of a sudden now you've got this interest group who is now interested in both things, even though you're only selling one out of two things. Absolutely brilliant. I love that. And once again, this is why I love doing advertising, right? It's like one of my favorite things to do, minus paying all the money that I have to when I do all this testing. But I mean, there's literally like minuscule. And that's why, like, if you guys, you know, never had like lead pages, click funnels, something like that, even on WordPress, you can do it pretty easily. Now there's a bunch of different plugins that are free, but you know, A/B testing, if people aren't familiar with that, you know, it's just testing. And I've done a lot of websites, right? As somebody who's creating SaaS, you know, software online, you know, just changing the color of a button, you would be so surprised how big of a difference that can make. And with A/B testing your ads, like by making multiple ads, you're in essence doing A/B testing. You're just doing it at a much larger scale and getting results really quickly because you're paying for that traffic, quote unquote traffic, to whatever it is you're selling. But you know, that's, you know, it goes back once again to the 80-20 rule, right? Like if you do 10 ads, out of those 10 ads, two of those ads are going to perform much better than the other, eight, right? So, I absolutely love turning dials here, guys. If you're afraid to spend too much money, you know, on Facebook or even, Google ads, I always like to say, you got to get your hands dirty, right? Like you can watch 1,000 YouTube videos on how to do YouTube ads, but until you actually get in there and start creating, there's going to be a lot of things that you don't get from it. But you know, even if you're setting like a couple dollars a day as your budget and super low bids, just to figure out what you're doing, like you have talked about this earlier, you have to just build that into your mindset that like, this is my research. Like I'm paying for educating myself on Facebook ads, on, you know, Google ads, on Pinterest ads, on YouTube videos, on, you know, graphics, on, you know, so many. I mean, honestly, nowadays with Canva, like you should not have to hire anyone to do graphic design these days, right? I mean, for an ad, like, I mean, you can, not saying you don't, but you can really do a lot of this stuff yourself, do a lot of testing yourself and dive in and kind of teach yourself how to do these things, which to me is a lot of fun. All right, Yev, before we send you off, I'm going to be selfish here because I always like to do this, the selfish thing. So as the software side of me, right, which is my main passion, you're a software guy too. What are you working on for 2021 without giving us, the secrets, without showing us the stealth fighter that you got, in Skunkworks right now? Well, what are you working on and what can you share with us in terms of, your data-driven mind? Like what kind of data points are you looking at in 2021 to kind of form strategies?
Yeah. Two parts. One is kind of like innovating, and it may not like lead to anything, but I think it's something I've been trying to do over the past year, is geo rank related, but building in automations where there's like a lot of things we've learned. And so question comes up, like, so does inventory affect geo rank and like this and that? And it's like always like a maybe. For a lot of brands it does, for a lot of brands it doesn't. It's hard to find patterns, but we know that like badges are appearing regionally. There's like all of these factors that, especially since like around, well, like basically in the past 6 months, Amazon is like rolling out these things where it seems like regional is having a bigger factor, like FBA, FBM. So there's like all of these regional things, but building in automations where there's actually metrics behind what it means to have regional differences. So it's kind of like, what is the strength of the effect of certain badges only appearing somewhere, and maybe or maybe not you can affect it yet, or you can affect badges being only in certain regions on the actual sales volume. And then the automation side of that is, well, and then an automatic Facebook ad is created targeting only certain regions based on either aggressive factors or depending on like the strategy. So it's kind of like a automation Facebook ads part built into like the whole geo rank idea. So it's kind of there, and it's still one of those things where it may be only relevant to like 0.1% brands, but like I don't care about that. I want to like do it and then find out. And then the other part, which I think is I'm actually more excited about because it kind of fits into what I've been doing for the past couple of years, is building out as many metrics as possible that have something to do with funnels and customer journeys for Amazon brands, but bridging off Amazon into that. And that simply means that, like I already have some of this data, but there's like so many ways to go with it. It's like the customer lifetime value can be broken down into like 7 different categories, what it means. It's like who buys something in the same transaction, in a future transaction, same type of product, different types of products. Is it on an actual subscribe and save or not? Or they're just a repeat customer, but not. There's like so many ways of defining LTV, but we don't know any of that as Amazon. So like, well, we do like brand analytics and you can like track it and do all of that. So I'm basically working on all kinds of like ways of like dashboards and analytics of providing that, but bringing in like off Amazon data into that. So it's kind of like this e-commerce approach into Amazon data. So that's been in the works, and I think it kind of gives like a better marketing picture to Amazon sellers, especially the ones that want to diversify off of Amazon to make Amazon more effective or to kind of like protect themselves with other strategies as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like, the world's not getting any more calm in 2021. So right now, diversification is huge. Yep. I know for me, asset wise, I'm getting very diversified right now with, what I own and what I'm investing in. So that's great advice. I always like to ask this, Yev, because you know me, I'm always a fiend for learning. Are you listening to any podcasts, audiobooks, reading anything? Like what are you digging into right now in terms of learning?
Yeah. Oh man. We were talking about Clubhouse earlier that I'm not on it. well, just having a second baby this year and moving to California this year, it's kind of like where there's no time for anything, barely for myself. But if I do, it's more like stuff that's not marketing related to kind of like stretch my reality to know how can I then apply what I'm learning into executing. Because I feel like a lot of us know about, all right, well, there's running the Amazon rant or running Facebook ads. You can learn like tactics, but can I totally change my approach by learning something about like philosophy or something like that? Or there's like philosophical sciences or like consciousness related sciences of how different disciplines like change where you learn across disciplines. So it's more like stuff like that, where it's kind of like fun stuff that may be theory, but you see like different studies where like, oh, actually perfect for entrepreneurship or marketing. How does that apply? So I think it's that, less on like podcasts on marketing. I'm like not in the past year, and maybe because of less time with family stuff.
Yeah, I know how that is. I have three, so you know, after the second one, you know, everyone told me, oh, number three is no big deal. They lied. They absolutely lied. Just like they lied when they said, oh, two is not that much harder than one. That was also a blatant lie. That being said, as I always say, children are the hardest and best thing in the world. I also tell people when they're like, oh, well, how many, like, do you, oh, I tell people, yeah, I have multiple businesses. They're like, well, how many do you have? I'm like, well, I have my Amazon business, my software businesses, and then each one of my children is the equivalent of two businesses. So I'm pretty much working like 10 jobs. So, you know, because my wife works as well. So, yeah, so it's crazy, but it is a fun journey. And I love, you know, taking the parenting and putting it into play in terms of like, you know, grinding, you got to grind. But once again, my big focus is, and you have, I have a feeling that you are similar to me and Amy in terms of like, you know, the shiny object syndrome. So for me, the one thing, if you haven't read that yet, you know, audiobook wise, has been super helpful for me, just to, you know, really start breaking things down, chunking it, really being like, okay, you know, this week I wanted to do Google Ads, I want to do conversion tracking, a landing page, like, all this stuff. It's like, no, dude, like this week I'm going to do, you know, advertising, whether, you know, that, and in that advertising, I'm going to work on my Google Ads, and in my Google Ads, I'm going to work on my ad copy. Like, you have to super break it, you know, focus down and like, you know, every day pick one major thing that has to get done and then go from there. And then every week, like one major thing that has to get done. You know, I used to do the three, you know, I called it the rule of three, where I was doing three of that. But like, once I started listening to the book and really, you know, thinking about it more, one thing always is more than one thing, right? So if you focus on one thing, it's always gonna be more, but that's been super helpful for me. Anyway, Yev, as usual, really great to have you on. Thank you so much. Let people know where they can find you and where they can find your software and all that fun stuff. And one of these days, maybe at a conference, you know, we can get back together again. I can buy you a beer.
For sure. Yeah. I'm just on Facebook is the best. At least now I still want to be on Facebook. So just search my name there or LinkedIn or go to zontrackerads.com.
All right. Yeah. Thank you so much. And if you guys haven't done so yet, please rate, review, subscribe to the Seller Roundtable. We really appreciate you guys doing that. As you can see, we do this live every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. If you jump in with us here, you get to ask people, experts, extraordinaires like Yev questions in the Zoom. So if you guys want to join us live, we'd really love to have you, because we can ask, you guys can ask questions as we're doing the interview. So thank you so much, guys, and we'll see you next time on the Seller Roundtable.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for live Q&A and bonus content after the recording at sellerroundtable.com. Sponsored by the ultimate software tool for Amazon sales and growth, sellerseo.com, and amazingathome.com.